Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show, and thank you for joining us. And we're off to another quick adventure, we hope. And my name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Kim Fink.
Pat Park.
Alan Harrop.
Glenn Fink.
And I guess, Alan, we're going off to you on a we're gonna put up all of our flags, I guess, and the Palestinian flags?
Yeah, well, not here we won't, but they are in New York and a lot of other campuses. Yeah, this business going on with this anti-Semitism, it's really getting out of hand. And it started, you know, one or two universities. It spread. It's not like 10, 15 universities. And I think somebody made a comment about UNC. If they did, it's got to be Chapel Hill. But anyway, I've never seen this in my life. I mean, these are the kind of things that makes you wonder, who are these students being educated by? What kind of influence are they getting that they just go along with these people that are clearly supporting an evil terrorist group of people?
And they don't know why. If you ask them why they're against the Jewish people, they cannot tell you why.
Yeah, you hear things like, well, they're killing, you know, the Jews are being too rough with them, or they're having too many casualties. You start a war, and you're going to have extra casualties. That's just the way it is.
And who started this, quote, war?
Exactly.
Well, my question is, evidently it's been 200 days since the hostages were taken. We don't know how many of them are alive. Some of them are Americans. Nobody is talking about the American hostages. They're protesting because they, first of all, the Palestinians are an Arab tribe, just like the other Arab tribes. They were in the British Mandate, which was part of the Balfour Declaration. What is now Jordan was set aside as a Palestinian state. Now, it was turned over to the Hashemites because of a bunch of stuff that went on with Lawrence of Arabia and all that. And the Palestinians were living there until they decided to overthrow the government, at which point they were kicked out. It seems to me that Palestinians want a state and feel they are entitled to a state. They need to make friends with their Arab brothers and find a piece of land that they can inhabit. They don't have to have Israel. Israel has a deed going back to its nation that goes back to the Bible. Let's give the Palestinians a state somewhere, not in Israel, and let's watch them closely to make sure we don't create another terrorist.
Why don't we clear up the issue a little quicker than that? If the folks in Gaza would allow the IDF go and search the whole area without any repercussions, without any defense, search the whole area for the survivors, I don't think there would be any battle there if the Palestinians would allow that. Now, we know that that's not going to happen.
No, but they don't want them to see all their hidey holes.
No, and we don't know how many hostages are alive or if hostages have been moved to Iran, which is another possibility.
I don't think so. In contradiction to Nancy Pelosi, there is nowhere that they have ever said that we want to start a peaceful state.
To go back to what Alan was saying about these protests on college campuses, I'm wondering how this isn't inciting violence, how this isn't treason, how this isn't
insurrection.
Absolutely. I mean, it seems like there's double standards for whatever the agenda is. And these college kids that are just so indoctrinated by the professors, I think somebody should look at the contracts for the colleges and see what kind of behavior is expected of the professors, because I know that professionals have a code of conduct that they have to follow. And I would think guiding your students, including encouraging them to do a walkout like they did at Columbia.
Well, are they working on government scholarships also?
I'm sure some of them are.
And how much of the money funding those colleges is coming from the government? This is reminiscent of what went on during the Vietnam War, when we had the students at the colleges protesting the war. The only difference is we were actually fighting in that war. We're not involved in the war between Israel and Hamas.
And we were not targeting a specific group of people, like they are targeting people of Jewish ancestry. There's a difference. Being against the war is one thing. These people are coming out against the Jews.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of outsiders that are going into these campuses, many of which there's some suspicion they're being funded maybe by George Soros, of somebody of his ilk. Like you mentioned earlier, Mary, about the where they had to set up these tents and everything. They were all, obviously, they were all perfect.
Identical tents.
And they brought in pizzas the other night, bought from somewhere.
Somebody's paying for this.
Yeah, but the, you know, and the thing is, we are allowing them to take over this campus. They've shut the campus down. Now they're doing only Zoom classes. The Jewish students are afraid to go on campus.
Their rabbi told them to all go home.
And, you know,
and there was a Jewish professor at Columbia who was not even allowed to go on campus. They ended his electronic key to let him get in.
Where is their equal access to the law? Where is their equal opportunity for it to be protected? Anything?
Because it's not being provided. For example, during the Eisenhower administration, when in the South they were beginning all the conflict over integration, President Eisenhower sent national troops to stop the riots and ensure the safety of the students.
They did
What should be done here.
He was a Republican.
Well, that's the problem. We have people in charge. The governor of New York, you know, Democrat, she's not going to do anything. Hochul.
Nope.
And then, of course, Biden's trying to woo these voters, I guess, in Michigan and Wisconsin, whatever he's doing. But I think Representative Fox came out and is supporting a law they're trying to introduce that would stop this and create a law that would prohibit this type of behavior. I hope it goes through and they do something.
If you recall, several years ago, Turning Point USA came to talk to CCTA, and they were working with college students on college campuses, and they were talking about the hoops that they have to go through to get permission to be on the campus with their propaganda for Turning Point. So I'm saying that at some point, the college itself is complicit in...
Absolutely.
That's a given.
Absolutely.
That's a given.
Well, I
suggest that the people listening to our show go online and look up the charter of Hamas. Now, I saw a video yesterday that reminded me of that. I used to teach a course on terrorism, which is where I got this from. And I saw a video yesterday that I thought was very interesting. And it was a guy pretending to be taking a survey, and he had a clipboard. And people were walking by him, and he was stopping them saying, I have a petition here that's supporting Hamas. Would you like to sign it? And everybody's going, oh, yeah, let me sign that. He goes, well, let me read you the terms and conditions. And he turns it over and he says, are you in favor of killing all Jews and infidels, non-Muslims, in the Mideast region? Well, no. Well, if you look up the Hamas charter, there it is. Kill the Jews, kill the infidels, kill all the non-Muslims. They don't hide it. It's not a surprise to anybody that takes 1 second on the internet to look up the charter of Hamas. And Hamas doesn't hide it. They haven't made any, you know, this is not a secret. Everybody can know it. So you have to wonder about these students that are protesting in favor of Hamas. Have any of them ever read Hamas's charter?
Have they ever read anything, or have they only been told to do things?
Well, and a lot of them may be people from outside of this country. They may be here on student visas.
Yep.
They may be here illegally, or however they got here. These people should be identified and immediately deported for this behavior. That would stop it. That would help stop it anyway.
Well,
you
got
to take some action. You sit back and do nothing.
Well, I have.
And you give them what they want. They shut the university down, and then you wonder why it continues.
I have a bit of information here that, to me, says it all. During an interview with NBC News, FBI Christopher Wray stated that the agency is not monitoring the protests on college campuses because they don't monitor protests as a general rule. But they do share intelligence about specific threats of violence with campuses, with state and local law enforcement. Well, these were the people that were surveilling the Catholic Church, and they're not monitoring these protests?
Well, the Planned Parenthood places where people were praying.
And I think they were even embedded at the January 6th thing.
Oh, yeah, they were.
So
your credibility, sir, is questionable at best.
And one thing I was going to comment on with Alan earlier about, you know, they're trying to win Michigan. But I just wonder if their calculus on this is misguided, because it seems they are likely to lose more across the nation than they likely can win. I know it's a battleground state. I know it's a mission critical state, but I just think the calculus is misguided, and they might win Michigan, but I can't see them not losing ground in a lot of other states.
Well, judging from the number of Muslims that in Michigan that voted, what, no choice?
Yes.
None of the above at the primary. And if they do that in the general election, the Republicans may take the state.
But that's still assuming that Biden's going to be on the ballot, and I have my doubts about that.
Why?
Because I think that at their convention, they're going to nominate somebody else.
I don't think so.
You don't think so. Well,
but we'll see.
We'll see. Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. We'll be right back. This is the CCTA Wake Up Call Show.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think East 70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols, buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory. Come for the thoughtful advice. East 70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Welcome back. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. I don't think we closed out this segment properly, so we're back for round two, at least for a while. Where do we go?
I'd like to just comment on what the impact of all this on what's happening in Israel and Hamas. Look at the encouragement Iran's getting and these terrorists mm-hmm. are getting. They're seeing an ally of Israel. The people are supporting them in this country, at least these people on these college campuses. Then they have Schumer and Pelosi come out, and they both call for Netanyahu
to step down,
to be taken out of office. So they're our ally, and we're supposed to be supporting them. And what are we showing? Once again, we're showing weakness in supporting our allies, which just encourages all of our enemies.
By the way, on the other side of the coin, and where was it? Iran launched approximately 300 drones against Israel.
And missiles.
And missiles. And they were taken out, mostly taken out by either U.S. Air Forces, I think Canadian was also involved, Saudi Arabia's Air Force.
Jordan.
Jordan was involved.
Also. These are, they're not what we would consider allies, but they know what is not peaceful in the area.
Well, the Middle Eastern countries, with the exception of Qatar, understand that Iran, first of all, and I read this morning, is weeks away from a nuclear weapon, which is not good news. But they want
to Obama.
They want to be in charge of the Middle East. They want to reconstruct the caliphate.
That's Obama's foreign policy, by the way.
Yes, I know.
He was moving the pieces around the board, trying to make Iran a power center.
Yes, and Iran is not a peaceful power center. Israel is a peaceful power center. But the other countries in that area are starting to align with Israel because they're afraid of Iran.
And something interesting, too, in this budget that just went through the Senate, we have senators saying, well, I voted for that not because we're sending money to support Israel. Most of that money stays here. Well, that money is staying here to build the missiles and the arms that are being used over there. So I think that that's a little bit of a turnaround.
Doublespeak is what...
Yeah.
There was also something in the way that bill was written that certain representatives understood that if they voted no on Ukraine, the bill would still go through and the money would go to Ukraine, but they could go home to their constituents and say, I voted no on money to Ukraine. That was a real sleazy deal.
They voted all three supports, whether it was Taiwan, whether it was Ukraine
or Israel.
They voted on them individually.
Separate.
However, that also the rules committee made it says if any of these fail, they all fail. And so you get to play your double speak.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, I just want to say one last thing. I think Israel made a big mistake when they did not hit Iran harder. When you get attacked, let's just imagine our country and Canada launches 300 missiles and attacks on us, and we send one attack on one area. They should have taken out their nuclear facilities. That's what they should have hit. It was a great opportunity. They're too close to it. They should have hit them harder. Not some little token thing. Yeah, we're going to hit you back.
I think
part of that is because they were afraid that we wouldn't support them.
I think they were. I think what Israel was doing was trying to show them we can hit you where we want to, whenever we want to. And it was more of a warning shot than meant.
Yes,
I've read.
I
disagree with you. I think that Israel is heavily dependent on the U.S. for their arms. And when the U.S. told them back off, if we don't send them more arms, they're going to run out of missiles and bombs, and then there's going to be no defense and no attacks.
Well, evidently, the place they hit was a place that Iran considered unhittable.
Right.
And the other part of that, too, is when you think back to this, do you remember the Stuxnet virus?
Yeah.
No, nobody has ever proven, I don't believe, that Israel did that, but anybody with a brain kind of assumes that Israel did that. I believe, and this is just me, that they have the technology to mess up that program electronically rather than bombing it. I'm not sure of that. I can't prove that. But knowing the brains that are running around Israel, I think that was a warning shot. That was we know exactly where your nuclear stuff is. You can't defend it the way you think you can. We're just putting you on notice. That was what I had come across in my reading. I want to go back to you, Pat, and ask you to tell us a little bit about the trial that's going on in New York.
Well, I've been keeping track of that trial. I was intensely interested in the jury selection because when I was auditioning, I want to say, for a criminal justice teaching position at ECU, I had to teach a class, and the students, I opened it up to questions, and one of the first questions they asked me, now this was back in 2001, so OJ was still relatively relevant, and they asked me why I thought the prosecution had lost that case. I said they lost that case when they seated that jury. So that jury wasn't going to convict OJ. And in fact, one of those jurors came out just recently and said, we didn't convict him because of revenge for Rodney King's beating. But at any rate, so I tracked who the jurors were. One juror watches Fox News, one out of all of them. The rest of them all get their news from New York Times, every one of them, New York Times, CNN, MSNBC, et cetera. So they don't even hear anything positive about Trump except that one dude, and we don't know what shows he watches or how much Fox he watches because he also gets his news from the New York Times.
And TikTok.
Yeah, and TikTok. Can you imagine getting your news from TikTok? That's ridiculous. So
well,
anyway,
the one show is going to be The Five.
Oh, so anyway, I watched the jurors. I saw a cartoon the other day, and it had Trump's jury of his peers, and everybody in the jury box was an ass, you know, a Democrat.
Oh, I thought they were kangaroos.
No, they were asses.
Okay. Either way.
Literally, figuratively. Literally,
figuratively, you name it. At any rate, so this morning I printed out an article called DA Finally Reveals Underlying Crime Trump Allegedly Committed and the Bidens Should Be Nervous. Now, just ignore the Bidens should be nervous because we have a two-tiered justice system. Bidens aren't going to be nervous about anything. This doesn't really apply to them, and it would never be done anyway. But I saw another article that said the DA's first witness blows up in his face, but I couldn't open the link. But Mr. Bragg was more clever than smart when he indicted Trump because the crime, he didn't mention what crime Trump was alleged to have committed.
In the indictment.
In the indictment. And that's unconstitutional. You have a right, a constitutional right, to know what you're charged with and who the witnesses are against you. So the indictment says conspired to commit a felony. Doesn't say which felony. Well, here's his problem. The misdemeanors, breaking of New York election law is a misdemeanor, and it's out of date. It expired 2 years ago. So in order to make it into a felony, he bootstrapped it onto a federal election law. But the New York court doesn't have the power to try federal election law. Okay, that's number one. Number two, so now in opening arguments, we hear that the crime he allegedly committed is an election fraud story, that he and Mr. Pecker, got somebody here that's enamored with his name, and the co-counsel, Michael Coangelo, argued that these three men formed a conspiracy to influence the election. Well, here's the problem. One of the problems, the grand jury didn't indict Trump for conspiracy.
But the jury will find him guilty anyway.
We're talking about appeals issues. You right. can't try him for a crime he's not charged with, and you won't be able to use jury instructions at the end of the trial that mention conspiracy because he's not charged with it.
So will Trump's attorneys bring up the things that you just so eloquently did?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So the public will know what's really going on.
Well, it's interesting to me that he's charged with interfering with the election because he spiked the story about Stormy Daniels. Well, I seem to remember a story about Hunter Biden's laptop that was spiked by 51 intelligence agents who said it was Russian disinformation.
That was during a debate, wasn't it?
It came out during a debate, and they later admitted that they knew when they wrote that letter that it wasn't Russian disinformation, that it was real. So who are we going to put on the hook for influencing an election by spiking the story about Hunter Biden's laptop?
Well, I know, Mary, that's what the end of this title, the Biden should be nervous, and my point was, they're not nervous.
They'll never be charged.
They'll never be charged. This kind of thing only works on one side of the political fence. Go ahead, Greg.
Glenn.
Sorry.
Average Glenn.
Yeah. Well, the discussion on that isn't really about whether he's guilty or not. They want to get him charged before the election. So that he's charged and he has to win the appeal, which will happen after the election.
You're talking about he has to be convicted.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get my terminate. So he has to be convicted. So they just want to convict him, even though if they know it's going to happen after appeal.
But you see, at the end of the testimony, they have to decide and agree on jury instructions.
Mm-hmm.
The jury instructions have to show what he's charged with, what the state had to prove, all the elements that the state has to prove beyond a reasonable doubt to get a conviction, and they have to agree on them. The judge has to approve them. So if he wasn't indicted for conspiracy, they can't have a jury instruction on conspiracy.
Does it have to be unanimous?
Well, the judge has the final word.
No, I mean the jury.
The jury has to be unanimous. He just needs one holdout.
So maybe the Fox News guy will be the holdout.
I want to come back to this when we come. I want to come back to this when we come back from the break.
Okay. We are going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Thank you again. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back, and again, thank you for listening to the sponsors and supporters. Okay.
Now go.
I just want to mention that a Democrat in the House of Representatives has already sponsored a bill that says any past president who is convicted of a felony will be denied Secret Service protection.
Right. We're talking about Congress, the House in Congress.
Yeah, the House of Representatives in Congress.
Right. They want him to be killed.
That's exactly what they want him out of the way. They don't care about the details.
Well, James Carville encouraged the DNC to do wet work.
Which is assassinating.
Which is assassinating.
And this goes along with the fact that the Biden administration is still refusing Secret Service protection to Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who has been attacked numerous times. And based on his family history, I know he doesn't meet the 15% or 11% or whatever it is criteria, but based on his family history, it just seems like he would be entitled to that just as a matter of let's protect
this
guy.
He certainly should be. And, you know, it's interesting. I think the Democrats, and that is trying to say that this is not coordinated through the Biden administration, even though we know it. We all know it was. In fact,
we have documents.
One of the attorneys used to be on a DOJ, the federal DOJ. But the point I'm making is two objectives. One is to convict them, but I think that's secondary. I think what they're trying to do is to occupy him so that he cannot campaign the way he wants to. But I think that may backfire, because he is on the news every day. He gets up, he talks about it when he's going in, when he's coming out, and he's really staying in the news. Millions of people are watching this. The only thing I wish is that the trial was televised.
Because
then the people could see how absurd this is. They're having to rely on the reports of other people and so on and so forth. It's like the O.J. Simpson trial. Pretty obvious. Anybody watching that, he was guilty of sin.
Yeah, I have to disagree with you, Alan, because the criminal justice trial, any criminal justice trial, cannot withstand the glare of the camera. Because what happens then, instead of paying attention to the legal issues, all of the lawyers and the judge are playing to the cameras. And then the whole trial turns into a spectacle, and it's basis for gossip, and did you see this, and it needs to stay in the courtroom.
It got Fani off.
But in this case, this is a spectacle.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you put it on air, it turns into a spectacle.
Well, this is a spectacle, and people need to. I think the people have a right to see this spectacle.
They can go there in person and see it.
I think for Trump's $75 million legal investment right now, he's gotten a pretty good return on his money.
Well, it didn't say which trial he had spent $75 million on.
No, I think the combination.
All of them.
But you saw what Pat said you saw during the Stormy Daniels trial. Even though that was not on the air full time, the mugging of that judge before the cameras was absolutely hilarious.
You're talking about Letitia James.
No, I'm talking about the guy. I'm talking about the guy in the Stormy Daniels trial. Erdogan, whatever his name was.
That's the judge that oversaw Letitia James' case.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Yeah.
He was mugging for the camera.
You're making my point.
I know.
Yes. And if you remember back in Judge Ito, he was going to be a star. You know, they picked him. He was this little mealy-mouthed guy, and then they turned that camera on, and it was the Ito show. I don't agree with TV cameras in the courtroom. Oh. Anyway, let me go back to my article here about the underlying crimes that he allegedly committed. They charged him with 34 counts. All right, and I didn't understand about these others. I hadn't heard of them. But there were two other people that tried to extort, because I call it extortion. You're a famous guy. You got lots of money. You got something on the stove there that you're very concerned about. And these people come out of the woodwork. You're going to have to pay me to keep my mouth shut. And when it's a sexual escapade, even better. And the Democrats will go find them. Look at Christine Blasey Ford. At any rate, there were two others. They were both paid. But as far as Stormy Daniels, number one, you know, she sued him and she lost her suit. And she owes him $300,000 right now, which she hasn't paid. I wonder if they're going to try to impeach her with that. when she takes a stand. Number two, the conspiracy is alleged to have occurred in 2017, but the check was signed in 2015. So the indictment has a date that the check doesn't line up with. Okay, that's sloppy. That's stupid. Then, so there's no conspiracy in the indictment. There's no Trump signature on any of the pieces of paper. None of the entries have Trump's signature. There's a check, one check, with his signature on it for $130,000, which is what went to Stormy Daniels. Number three, instead of calling this a hush money trial, which the press has turned this into, it's a case of non-disclosure agreement. They're not illegal. They're used all the time. So I don't know if you can break through the wall of ignorance with the court, with the jury, on hush money is not hush money. If it's a non-disclosure agreement, it's not illegal. He didn't do anything illegal. She was extorting him, if anything. That's the way I would play it. One of the other women that was trying to extort Trump,
one about was having
trying,
a baby?
Yeah, was trying to sell her bit about an out-of-wedlock child, and there was a Trump Tower doorman who was trying to sell it, and it turned out to not be true.
The baby was Hispanic.
Well, I don't know about the baby, but
I read that today.
But the guy that was trying to sell that was shown to be lying. Let's see. The grand jury did not accuse Trump of a scheme, much less a conspiracy. The conspiracy under Georgia law says there has to be a conspiracy, quote, to promote or prevent the election by unlawful means. An NDA is not an unlawful mean. So the indictment fails on several grounds. Opening argument, you could already tell that the case is going down the poop chute.
Other than it's keeping him locked up in the courtroom and not out. And not only that, what did they do? Monday they stopped early, so
somebody had a dentist appointment.
And then for the week, we've got Passover, but he can't go to his kid's graduation.
Right.
I want to add something to this, too. Going back to 2017, this is CNN, so take it for what it's worth.
Nothing.
There is an Office of Compliance in Congress that handles harassment complaints against congressmen. Since the 1990s, they have paid out more than $17 million. So how come that our tax dollars are paying harassment suits against Congress, and Donald Trump is in trouble for keeping something quiet? He paid his own money to keep this quiet.
Well, when that first came up, when this whole thing broke, the news came up with the issue that you're talking about, the committee or the department.
The Office of Compliance.
The office that pays those hush money fees. And there was some attempt to make them public to see who had been paid off in favor of. And, of course, the Congress shut that right down. So we don't know who they've paid for or how much they've paid. We just have that figure, $17 million, which is eye-watering. Once again,
so it's legal when Congress does it, but it's not legal when Donald Trump does it.
But I think the issue in this trial is not whether he paid hush money. I think the issue has to do with how it was classified in the records. I think that's what the misdemeanor was, that he falsified.
Yeah, but that's a misdemeanor.
He falsified the records. Not that it's not illegal to pay somebody for not saying something. Mm-hmm. That is not a crime. If it was, then Stormy Daniels would be guilty of extortion or blackmail.
What was classified as business, not legal, Whether that was intentional or not, who knows?
Well,
but that was the difference in the classification, right?
There's no Trump signature on any of those, Alan.
I'm not saying he's guilty of it.
The bookkeeping entries don't match up with the dates of the indictment.
Right. Pat, I'm not arguing the facts. I'm just saying that the purpose or the thrust of this is not that he paid hush money. The thrust is that the money was put in the wrong category.
Is that not the case? An accounting issue.
Yeah.
And, yes. And also, apparently, he never paid it, but his lawyer is the one that paid it without his knowledge.
Well, and that's that real trustworthy guy, Michael Cohen, right?
Yeah, Mr. Liar. Mm. And Stormy Daniels is a liar because she wrote a statement out saying she never had an affair with Trump.
Right.
So now she's extorting him under false pretenses, and she owes him $300,000. These are sterling witnesses, and as an attorney, under ethical issues, you cannot put a witness on the stand that you think is going to lie.
All right.
So it's unethical to have those two on the stand.
One of them has already been convicted of perjury.
I have one question. Who in their right mind would ever want to run for president again? If seeing what you have to go through with the Democrats as your opposition.
That's only if you're a Republican.
Well, right. That's who opposes the Democrats, the Republicans.
After the illegal invaders all vote, we'll never have another Republican president.
And as you said, Alan, who in their right mind now question is?
Well, not all the Republicans are good guys either.
That's true.
Okay, folks, we're going to take another quick break, and thank you for listening to the show.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Folks, welcome back from the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. I'm going to go right to Mary. You're going to start a new...
Yes. We don't do a lot of local stuff, but I think we're about to do some local stuff. The Carolina Journal on Wednesday, April 24th, posted an article. It was a very favorable article about the growing North Carolina market for safe, consistent hemp products.
Explain what hemp is.
Hemp is the cousin of marijuana. and supposedly it does some really good things, but it has a lower THC level.
Well, what are the really good things that it does in that article?
Well, it talks about it will help dogs with anxiety, and it helps grandmas sleep.
Wait, you left out. It'll help spastic dogs with anxiety, I believe it said.
Yeah, it does
say that.
Well,
that's a big market. I'm very concerned about that myself. But I want to know what my legislator is doing about the problems of spastic dogs.
At any rate.
And gummies for grandma.
Gummies for grandma. Let's get a gummy campus. Gummies for grandma.
Gummies for grandma.
I would like to point out that we talked recently about the fact that some of our vape stores have been closed down because of marijuana with higher than normal THC levels. Or CBD levels, or whatever they are.
And again, that may not be marijuana. It just may be the CBD,
and
which is a common ingredient, I believe, in both of those.
In both of these. But anyway, this article is very favorable toward this new hemp market. And
it's not new, Mary.
Well,
hemp, it's grown all over the country.
I know, but North Carolina is...
It's new here.
...is getting into it here.
Okay.
And one of the companies involved is Astera Labs. And recently, John Bell became president of Astera Labs.
And who is John Bell?
John Bell is the head of the North Carolina House of Representatives Rules Committee, which is probably the most powerful committee in the House of Representatives. Now, I have a couple of questions about this. First of all, if a hemp product can calm a dog with anxiety and help grandmothers sleep, then it has some kind of a psychological impact. We're touting a psychological drug, non-prescription, just put out there on the market. I really question the wisdom of that. And the legislature that's supposed to keep a rein on these things, the person who is in charge of the Rules Committee, which would be where bills go to die or not to die, is a president of a company that's pushing this product.
No conflict there.
Well,
nothing to see here, folks. Nothing.
Yeah, and the article is very positive. They're saying the consumer will always know what they're getting, and it's going to be safe and all that. But, again, we see what has happened with our vape stores, where they've gone above the legal limit of whatever chemical they're supposed to be below the legal limit on.
And they've marketed stuff in ways that attract young...
That are totally misleading.
Younger consumers,
I guess. That are totally misleading. I am just...
Are they saying that the reason that this is good is because it will be regulated?
Yes.
Okay.
It will be safe and consistent.
Yeah, this is all a precursor for what the legislature is supposed to take up this session, from what I understand, which is medical marijuana. Illegal now. It's legal in 40 other states. And I think there's going to be another push. There was this past session by some of the politicians to legalize it. I'm against it. It's the beginning of getting the camel and his nose under the tent.
So that you have
a lot of states. The next step is the recreational marijuana. And then you have all the problems that associate with that. And not the least of which, there was a report the other day in the state of Maine. And I think it was Susan Collins. She was concerned about the Chinese are buying up land in states. And what are they raising? Marijuana. Now, here are the people that are bringing in fentanyl. Fentanyl is frequently laced into marijuana. Now, they're going to be raising it. And I mean, this is the most absurd thing, letting our enemies, now we're going to let them get our youth high or killing them off with fentanyl.
Even worse than that. In California, where recreational marijuana is legal, they have taxed it so high that the cartels have come in and started a market of illegal pot because people don't want to pay all the taxes on the legal marijuana.
Yeah, that's a case of if Democrats knew one page of economics and how a market works, they could have foreseen that. The black market will flourish.
By the way, quick one, Alan, I'm going to go back. You mentioned about the legislative session in North Carolina. The legislative session started yesterday, April 23rd, the short session.
And the other thing, too, there's some, in terms of taxes, there is something called the Laffer curve, which shows the degree to which you can tax something before it becomes counterproductive. It has been proven that you can raise taxes to a certain point and you will get revenue.
That came out during Reagan.
Yes, it did. That was Arthur Laffer, who was brilliant. And after that point, people find so many ways to avoid those taxes that you are no longer increasing your revenue. And the same applies, again, to the marijuana market. When they tax it so heavily, you create a black market. Look at what has happened with cigarettes on Indian reservations. That's another example of it. As you drive north on 17, you will come across in Virginia and Delaware and Maryland stores that are selling tax-free cigarettes because they're claiming to be part of the Indian reservation. Anything to get around. I mean, I believe the government makes more on a pack of cigarettes now than the farmer does.
North Carolina has the lowest cigarette tax in the nation. The last time I read about it was a nickel. I don't know what it is now. But I remember when I was teaching at ECU, there was an article that got quite a bit of attention. And I think it was Hezbollah. They were buying cigarettes in North Carolina where they paid very little tax and selling them up in New York. Mm-hmm. And the money was going to a terrorist organization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they arrested some guys because I remember that.
See, the other thing about this medical marijuana is people forget that there's very little research on the long-term effects of marijuana. For whatever reason you're taking, we know it affects your memory. We know it affects your cognitive thinking ability. And the long-term effects, you know, obviously a lot of people smoke it. You have the lung issues with cancer and so on. But the long-term effects, we don't know. And who's going to be doing it? Most of the younger people, probably. And these are the people we need to depend on to keep the country going, to have the motivation. It also saps your motivation. To be a hard worker, to apply yourself, and that's will destroy this country. And here we're going down that road, and they're calling it medical marijuana.
They'll buy more
and it's recreational. Then it's
yes, they're. Well, I think one of the most brilliant Girl Scout leaders I've ever heard of was the one who set up a Girl Scout cookie stand right outside the marijuana dispensary.
Yeah,
she understood marketing.
She understood the marketing. You know, we talked about the Laffer curve, and the, I think the biggest example, probably here in eastern North Carolina, go back to the very late 80s, early 90s, when George Bush put the luxury tax on the boats.
Yachts. Yeah.
And all of a sudden, that whole industry flat out died right in this area.
And the economy collapsed because when people stopped buying boats, then you put those people out of work, and the luxury coats and jewelry, you put those people out of work, and then less people went out to dinner, so the service industry suffered, and you had unemployment go through the roof because of somebody who said, well, let's do a luxury tax.
Well, once again, if people understood how markets work, we wouldn't be facing this issue over and over and over again. California is just a mishmash of market disasters.
You know, we as a country, and I'm going back, showing my age too much, but going back, we used to be a manufacturing country where it used to take a long time to make a change in the economic impact using manufacturing. In the service industry and in the consumer industry right now, you know, if people stop buying pizza today, they lay off two or three people tomorrow. It doesn't take very long to change the economic.
We saw that in California with the minimum wage going up to $20 an hour, and the only exception was if you were baking bread. So Panera got an exception. That may have been changed now. I'm not sure. But all of a sudden, pizza delivery drivers lost their jobs, and people who were employed in fast food lost their jobs because the companies could not afford to pay it.
Subway closed down in toto in one city in California. There were 18 Subway shops, and they all closed the day that took effect.
Well, no country can long exist based on service industries. We have lost in this country over the past 15 years, 65,000 factories, manufacturing plants have been shut down. Over 250,000 of these workers been laid off.
Mm-hmm.
Where are we getting that stuff from? China, from these other countries. And no country can exist like this.
And the quality is not always what it should be either. There was a situation, I don't remember the company, but they moved their manufacturing to Mexico, and they wound up moving it back after a year because they said they could not depend on the quality they were getting out of that factory.
You know, we've all heard those stories about stuff from China that has lead in it and other stuff. And I had read an article about don't eat fish products from China. Well, it turns out that our Congress has passed law that says you don't have to put the country of origin on imported products like that. It's like, whose side are they on? Not on our side.
They're on their side because somehow money got passed on that.
Somehow there's an influence in there that we don't normally know about.
Okay.
Folks, we're about to end the show. Again, thank you for listening to the show. I just want to remind you about the Back the Blue banquet coming up May 21st at Copper Ridge in New Bern.
And if you would like tickets, email mary@cctaxpayers.com.
And thank you again for staying with us. This is a CCTA Wake Up Call show.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swanspur, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern,